Is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The job market in 2024 and earlier this year, much weaker than originally reported. Preliminary revised numbers released today by the Labor Department show employers added 991,000 fewer jobs to the U.S. economy than we thought. Israel launching a strike targeting Hamas's leadership in Qatar, widening its campaign against the militant group as talks on ending the war in Gaza reach a stalemate. ABC's Ian Paddle in Jerusalem says the normalization of relations between Israel and its Arab neighbors could be in jeopardy following the strike in Doha.
The Abraham Accords were a process, a diplomatic process pushed by the United States, whereby Israel normalized relations with many Arab countries that previously were sworn enemies. And that whole process, I think, now is going to be thrown into question.
President Trump in the White House denying he was the author of an entry in Jeffrey Epstein's birthday book. This is ABC News.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. With kids back in school, parents need to be doing their best to make sure germs aren't being spread and they aren't getting sick. UW Health Kids' Dr. Casey Freimiller says washing hands is the most important things kids can do.
Using soap and water and a quality amount of time. We talk about singing the ABCs. It really goes a long way to getting all the dirt and grime and the viruses and bacteria that can kind of be harbored on our hands. And frequently, after using the bathroom, before eating, after playing outside or playing with a pet.
Parents should also be telling kids what to do properly if they have to cough or sneeze.
Helping kids remember, like, cover your cough and your sneeze. Teaching them to use their elbow or their sleeve or something that's farther away from their hand can go a long way in preventing their germs from reaching someone else.
Freimiller says proper hand washing and teaching kids to cover their coughs and sneezes will also help stop the spread of germs. But vaccines remain the number one defense for spreading illness.
Talking with your pediatrician about what vaccines might be available or necessary for kids as they get back to school, or getting up to date on maybe some vaccines that we are due for, is also helpful. Prevention goes a long way.
Freimiller says healthykids.org is a great resource for parents to visit to get more information. The Herb Cole Educational Foundation is now accepting nominations for its 2026 Teacher Fellowship and Principal Leadership Awards. The awards are meant to honor teachers and administrative staff from across the state who go above and beyond to support their students. Award recipients will receive $6,000 and their schools will receive a matching $6,000 grant. Teachers can be nominated by other school staff, parents, and even students. The nominations can be submitted on the Herb Cole Educational Foundation's website. I'm Joanne Krulotz.
The Badgers head for Bama. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers have a road game Saturday against number 19th-ranked Alabama, kickoff 11 a.m. So how do the players feel about taking on the Crimson Tide? Badgers head coach Luke Fickle.
There's nothing more that you want to do as a competitor than be in the biggest games and the biggest competition out there. And to go to Alabama to play in front of that crowd, to go down there to play, you know, in the SEC country, I think that there's not a guy within our program that isn't say that's one of the reasons why they're here.
NFL, a short week for the Packers. They host the Commanders Thursday night. Packers wide receiver Jaden Reed dealing with a stress fracture in his left foot. I asked how he was doing after Sunday's game against the Lions.
It feels great to win. I'm definitely hurting a little bit, but, you know, thank God we got some time to recover. Put my foot in some ice and I'll feel better.
Baseball, the Brewers and the Rangers tonight in Texas. Milwaukee losing last night 5-0. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Partly sunny and very pleasant today with highs scraping the mid-70s and a light south breeze. Overnight tonight, chances for spotty showers, and they're gone for tomorrow. Sticking with sunshine, highs return right back to the upper 70s. Behind that, 80s take over for the weekend. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 63 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The author of Bowling Alone says, let's foster new forms of electronic entertainment and communication that reinforce community engagement. Well, that's civic media. That's Up North News, trying to get more of us off the couch, give you good information while you are listening, but then to step up, get out there into your community and bring a friend to the voting booth.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5:30, we talk with the indomitable Stacey Abrams about how to build the big tent for Democrats in 2026 to return this country to the hands of working people. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Mattinair, who is currently vacating, resting, relaxing. She called me. She wanted to let you know that she misses you, she loves you, and she'll be back before you know it. But for now, you got me and you got Sweet Calby on the boards doing the ones and twos. Everyone say hi, Calvin.
Hi, everyone.
There it is. All right, cool. We're going to be getting it rocking and rolling here. It's going to be a great hour of programming here for you today at 10:35. We're going to be doing an audio sorbet-ish. A senator from the South has made one of our articles famous. And it's not the one we wanted, but it's the one we deserve, I guess. And then we also have This Shouldn't Be a Thing in 10:52. It's the Casper's Dream Car Edition. If you want to get in touch with us, call or text. Leave a comment on the live stream, but you can call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that we in this house still call Twitter. I'm very, very excited to have our next guest on the show. He is the Chief Operating Officer of Native Public Media. His name is Brian Wadsworth. Mr. Wadsworth, thank you so much for being here today and sharing your time with us.
No, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak about Native Public Media and the work that we're doing for our tribal radio stations.
So let's start there. Tell us about Native Public Media. It's not one station. It's a group. What do you do, and what do you do for stations across the country?
So Native Public Media, we are a Native-led nonprofit that works exclusively with tribally licensed radio and television stations throughout the country. We have a network of about 58 tribally licensed radio stations, as well as 3 tribally licensed radio or television stations throughout the country. And so the work that we do at Native Public Media, we work with our stations to work with them on their various compliance with the heavy regulations that they have being in broadcasting. So we work with them on their regulations. We also have We offer training for our stations. We have an emergency management planning training as to get our stations prepared to stay on the air in the event of an emergency, as well as underwriting, how to generate funds from underwriting for our radio stations, and then our station support program, which was funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. We worked hand in hand with the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, as well as with the 36 tribally licensed radio stations that received the community service grant. So we have the unique opportunity to be able to work with them one-on-one, provide technical assistance with the I worked on the financial compliance aspect of their CSG grant, and then my counterpart, Kyler at City, our programs coordinator, worked with them on the non-financial compliance. So we got to help them out with, we tracked all of their financial data, all of their financial information, as well as our non-financial information. And probably the best part was being able to get out there and go out there and visit the stations, visit them on their homelands, and get to meet and get to know the station personnel. And they really are our family. So we we're in a unique situation to be able to go out there and work with them, talk with our station, see what's going on, and being able to serve as a liaison between the tribal stations as well as the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and be able to, like I said, work hand in hand with them and, you know, really being able to be that liaison. So if there are issues going on with the station, we're able to actively communicate that with to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, whether that's personnel changes or if the station's struggling to, if they're having issues with their auditors or anything, any issues the stations were having, we were able to communicate that to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and really help them understand some of the struggles that are going on within Indian Country. For example, one of our Alaska stations, their internet was cut off and their nearest place they could get internet was about 6 hours away. And so, you know, we had to find some workarounds since everything is online these days, and they didn't have access to reliable internet. So we had to find workarounds and, you know, hard mailing letters using snail mail or even utilizing faxes to get information from the station to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Now, I mean, that is an amazing rundown of what you do. And I'm glad you made it that detailed because I want people to understand that it's not to shoo away any assumptions on what your group does or any other group when it comes to public broadcasting. Because you mentioned several times in there the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And because of the big bill for billionaires, it has been zeroed out, which means at the end of this month, most of the jobs are going to be vacated and it's going to be closed permanently at the beginning of next year. We're losing the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, everyone. You've said this many times on the show. We spoke to Robert Pilot, who's the host of Native Roots Radio about this. But I wanted to talk to you because you are a part of a group that deals with a lot of stations. What does that closure mean for those stations, and what does it mean for Native public media?
Well, for our stations, if they were to go dark, I mean, those stations serve as a lifeline for our tribal communities. It's not just about broadcasting music, but they also offer programming in their indigenous languages. So for a lot of our tribes, that's how, you know, our youth, that's how they're able to learn their language. It's about being able to share information within their community, keeping their community updated on not only what's going on, you know, nationally, but also what's going on locally with their tribal governments and with their tribal councils and different events going on within the community, but also being able to share any sort of emergency information that happens within those communities, whether it's, you know, fire or flooding or tornadoes, active shooters. They are the lifelines for these communities, especially a lot of our tribes. They're located in rural areas, and some of the stations that we go visit, you know, we fly into a major airport and we're having to drive 2 to 3 hours to get to the station. So a lot of these stations are located in remote rural areas, and in some areas they don't have access to broadband internet. I mean, my tribe, the Pyramid Lake Paiute tribe here in Northern Nevada, we just got hooked up with broadband internet. So we've had to, you know, utilize our cell phones as hotspots, which isn't the most reliable with cell phone service being out here in rural Nevada. So, you know, these remote tribes, they rely, and radio is reliable because, you know, if you have a signal, if you have your vehicle, or if you have a portable radio, you're able to get that information. So in a lot of the training we do with our stations, we train them on how to be prepared to stay on the air. So they're able to, you know, make sure this emergency information is being able to be disseminated to their communities. So, you know, when internet goes out, the power goes out, you know, our radio stations, they're able to stay on the air and they're able to keep their communities informed, and, you know, which is a lifeline for these communities.
If you're just joining us on Matt and Aaron Air, we're speaking with Brian Wadsworth, who is the Chief Operating Officer of Native Public Media. And Brian, first of all, again, thank you for being here. We spoke to Kate Riley, who's the president and CEO of America's Public Television Stations. We spoke to Robert Pilot, who hosts Native Roots. We have a friend of ours, Mark, up in Hayward, Mark Lundin, who works for Civic Media, who also did a lot of work with WOBJ, which is Wisconsin's only tribal station in Wisconsin. And the things you are saying right now, if you took all the references to to Native folks and tribal stations, it's public broadcasting. And they are, if they are not associated with tribal stations, they are going to be suffering the same thing. And the reason why I say this, I want people to understand that this connects us all. These public stations are an important, as you said, lifeline to various information and to emergency information as well. And now you, your station, other groups, whether they're affiliated with PBS, NPR, whether they're independent, now they have to go find new funding. Now they have to go out there and say, we're not trying to make, and I mean this with all due respect to everyone in this, the sexiest programming does not come out of public broadcasting. You cannot talk about ratings. We have this new reality show. You are trying to do the work of the people and inform the people. But now you have to go out and say, we need money because we need to provide this service, especially, as you just said, to folks in rural areas, which was what we talk about all the time. These decisions are being made at the top levels that are affecting folks out in 2-3 hours out of the cities who don't have broadband internet access, who don't have cable, who rely on what you do to find out what's going on. And I guess, you know, before we get into the story that brought me to your attention with regard to Senator Rounds, what is the plan of Native Public Media, the groups in general, to just get out there and find more funding?
Yeah, so the effects of defunding the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, those effects, it's going to be a ripple effect. It's not just, like you said, it's not just about NPR or PBS, which is unfortunately what, you know, Congress and the new administration focused on was NPR and PBS. But there is just so much more that the Corporation for Public Broadcasting funded, not only, you know, over, you know, 1,200 public radio and television stations, but they also provided funding through the Next Generation Warning System grant, which would prepare public stations to be able to prepare for emergencies or upgrade their emergency equipment. But also you have, you know, production of content, you know, not only for native content, but also just content in general. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, music, licensing, all of that, you know, distribution. So there was just so much more that the Corporation for Public Broadcasting funded. And also, you know, us at Native Public Media, you know, the effects of defunding the Corporation for Public Broadcasting will hit us as well. Like I mentioned earlier, we worked with the 36 tribally licensed radio stations that received funding from the community service grant. So our budget is going to take a 50% hit. And so what we're doing, not only keeping tabs on what's going on with the Senator Rounds deal and with the Bureau of Indian Affairs and how that's going to play out. We haven't heard any official statement or received any official correspondence from Senator Rounds' office or the BIA. So, you know, we're in the dark just like everyone else. We're just waiting for more information to come out. But what we did at Native Public Media, our goal, our primary focus, even though our budget's taken a 50% hit, you know, our focus is making sure that our stations are able to stay on the air. So we've ramped up our fundraising efforts. We created a tribal endowment fund where that fund will be used for the long term, being able to provide long term support for our stations. Mm-hmm. And then we also have our tribal station support fund, which we're fundraising for to create that, you know, I guess triage you'd want to call it, but you know, first response for stations. So, you know, we're ramping up our fundraising efforts and, you know, we're working with our stations. We've been preparing them, you know, since the new administration came in that, hey, this is something that could come down the pipeline. So, you know, just preparing them, you know, mentally to mm-hmm. be able to talk with their tribal governments, because not all tribes, we're not all casino tribes. We all don't have, you know, influx of income. So, you know, for a lot of our stations, it is a big ask to ask their tribal government because, you know, just like with, you know, a lot of tribes, they're on very small budgets as well.
We're going to keep the conversation going, and I want to discuss this, this discussion you had with Senator Rounds from South Dakota when we come back on the other side. But we have Brian Wadsworth here. He is the Chief Operating Officer of Native Public Media. We're going to keep the conversation flowing. And if you want to be in touch with us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned and stay close.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-859-3220. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-859-3220. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-859-3220. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-859-3220 or biglou.com.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter, experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Aaron Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who will be back before you know it. And we're here talking to Brian Wadsworth, who is the Chief Operating Officer of Native Public Media. If you want to get in touch with us, call or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We'll love to hear from you. Drop a comment on the live stream. We're on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Before we went and got ourselves some water and a snack, we were talking to Brian about the closure of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, what it means for tribal stations around America, and what his group, Native Public Media, does for those stations around the country. And something that you brought up that I thought was very important and needed reminding for me, too, was the fact that when we think public broadcasting, we think PBS, we think NPR. And while those are entities and they're national brands, and I have to assume the finding of funds will be slightly easier for them, not completely easy. It's those unaffiliated stations, including tribal stations, that will have to work harder because the Trump administration came in, along with the GOP, vilifying and demonizing public radio as liberal, woke, choose your buzzword. But they've put the work upon you. And as you made mention, your budget is slashed by 50% because of it. But you, and this is how I came to know your group and reach out to you. And an article in the Wisconsin Examiner from the 27th of last month, Jennifer Shutt with the byline, talking about a handshake deal with Congressman Mike Rounds of South Dakota to find $9 million in funding. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so the work that we do at Native Public Media, you know, we were watching the rescission package as it went through. And in real time, we were at the National Congress of American Indians when the House first talked about the rescission package. And, you know, in real time, we were trying to mobilize, and we got a resolution passed by the National Congress of American Indians to urge Congress to not defund the Corporation for Public Broadcasting on behalf of not only the 36 tribally licensed radio stations that receive funding, but also the Quantic Broadcasting Corporation that receives funding for their production and content, as well as Vision Makers Media, which provided grants to for Indigenous filmmakers to create documentaries. So again, the rippling effects of defunding the Corporation for Public Broadcasting doesn't just hit, you know, our radio and our public radio and television stations, but the rippling effects and the consequences will be probably felt for many years. But the work with the Rounds deal, that kind of came up last minute, because, you know, that kind of came in at the end, you know, especially with the Senate voting. And so that deal, we were shocked to hear. We were, you know, of course, happy to hear that there was consideration for funding for the public radio tribal public radio and television stations. But there just weren't any details. And so we had reached out to Senator Round's office, because then we had heard that, you know, it was going to come from energy funding from the BIA. Excuse me. So we reached out to the BIA. We haven't received any formal correspondence from the BIA, but now there's some news articles coming out that, you know, the BIA is committed to providing that $9.4 million. But what's still unknown is, when is that funding going to be available? Because a lot of our stations, they're on different year ends. So some of our stations, they're already in FY26. So when is that funding going to become available, and how is that funding going to become available? Do our stations have to apply? Is it open for any tribally licensed radio or television station, or is it just going to be restricted to those stations that received funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting? So still a lot of unknowns out there with the Senator Rounds deal.
And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to your group as well, is because I want people to hear this, and I want them to know that a senator has made a handshake commitment to doing this and to hold the feet to the fire to do this work, to fund this. Because let's face it, you said $9.4 million?
Yes.
$9.4 million, as far as the federal budget goes, is paperclip money. And there's, in my opinion, there's no reason why we can't just say yes to this and get it done. So, Brian, if people want to get involved, get to know more about what you do, donate to your group, how do they do that? How do they reach you?
So you can visit our website, www.nativepublicmedia.org. And on there, we have a donation page where people can make contributions online through Zephy, or if they would like to mail a donation. We received so much support. It's really amazing. Right after the Congress passed the rescission package, we received donations started coming in, and so we're very, very grateful for the support. We have a lot of people reaching out to us wanting to find out how they can support. And so again, our main goal, our primary goal at Native Public Media, is to keep our stations on the air. So, you know, we'll do whatever we can. We are resilient as Indigenous people. We are resilient. We've gone through, our people, my people, have struggled, have gone through so much worse than this, which is unfortunate, but we are resilient people. And, you know, I'm very confident that we will come out of this stronger and more resilient, and, you know, making new connections, making new allies, that people with organizations that we may not have even thought of. Mm-hmm. So again, if people would like to donate to our tribal endowment fund, again, for the longevity of public media for our Indigenous radio and television stations, they can visit our website, or they can always reach out to us via our emails.
Wonderful. Brian Wadsworth is the Chief Operating Officer of Native Public Media, talking to us today about the importance of keeping tribal stations on the air. Brian, thank you. Thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it. We're going to keep up with the story. We'll be in touch. You have a wonderful day. Thank you again for being here, my friend.
Great. Thank you. Pisha, thank you.
All right. When we come back, Tisbat, This Shouldn't Be a Thing, is on Capitol Hill. Find out which one and who's talking about it. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned, stay close.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A federal judge has ruled that new Wisconsin regulations targeting vape devices can remain in place. The regulations ban the sale of any electronic vaping device that is not listed in the Wisconsin Department of Revenue's directory. A coalition of vape shops filed the lawsuit prior to when the regulations went into effect on September 1st. On Friday, a federal judge ruled against temporarily blocking the regulations, noting in his decision that the vape distributors had 19 months to challenge the 2023 law that made the new regulations possible. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection has certified the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board election results. The newly elected soybean producers started their three-year terms on the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board on September 1st. They include David Justman of Platteville, representing District 3, which covers Adams, Crawford, Grant, Juneau, La Crosse, Monroe, Richland, Sauk, and Vernon counties. Jonathan Gibbs of Fox Lake, representing District 4, which covers Columbia, Dodge, Fond du Lac, Green Lake, Marquette, Washera, and Winnebago counties. And Patrick Maluli of Clinton, representing District 5, which covers Dane, Green, Iowa, Lafayette, and Rock counties. The Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board is composed of seven producers in seven districts across the state. The board oversees the collection and use of about $3 million in assessment fees paid by Wisconsin soybean producers. This funding is used to support the soybean industry through research, education, and promotion of Wisconsin-grown soybeans. Learn more about the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board at wisoybean.org. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Last week, I said that summer blockbuster season at the theaters was officially over, but it appears that no one told The Conjuring last rites. Prognosticators guesstimated that the film would pull in roughly $80 million worldwide. The film opened in first place this past weekend, surpassing the predicted amount in the U.S. alone with $83 million and pulled in $187 million worldwide. Good for the third largest opening ever domestically or globally for a horror film. For Warner Brothers, this was their eighth number one opening of the year and the seventh film in 2025 that has opened with a take of more than $40 million, something no studio has ever achieved, according to Deadline. Hamilton opened in limited release and came in second place with $10 million, and it was more horror as Warner Brothers' Weapons came in third place and now has raked in $143 million in 5 weeks. Freakier Friday and Caught Stealing finished in fourth and fifth place, respectively. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Partly sunny and very pleasant today with highs scraping the mid-70s and a light south breeze. Overnight tonight, chances for spotty showers, and they're gone for tomorrow. Sticking with sunshine, highs return right back to the upper 70s. Behind that, 80s take over for the weekend. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 63 degrees.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Dan Marcus is here. One of the snacks Dan likes called Sensen.
Kind of tart and sour.
The packaging is not great. I understand it's very old, but like you got, it's like a toffee fay or something. Like
it's like eating candy flavored charcoal.
Okay.
I am looking on Google and these packages that I'm looking at are...
Conrad likes to look at packages on Google.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Green Bay's own Frank Hermans. Just a bit outside, director Sean Hannish joins with Big News and the Green Bay Film Festival's Nick Watier. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Aaron Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently on vacation, what will be back before you know it. If you want to get in touch with us, you can call or text. You can get in touch with us by that way. Same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still ahead, great, great programming. We got 1052 coming up soon. That means this shouldn't be a thing. Casper's Dream Car Edition is the one we're working with here. And I wanted to say something really quick about before. I want to talk about what's coming up on the lineup for the rest of the day. But I wanted to say something really quick about Civic Media. And that is, we are a public benefit corporation. Our mission is to champion the practice of democracy through local voices across Wisconsin. And in this instance with Mr. Brian Wadsworth, a conversation with a voice outside the state, but has impact here in Wisconsin as well. As a public benefit corporation, we are not public radio. We are instead radio for the good of the public. And as a listener of our stations, you can learn how to support Civic Media and our stations around Wisconsin by going to our website, civicmedia.us/support. Also, Calvin, I don't know if you know this. I'm sure you know this. You work here. But after our show is done at 11 o'clock, the network just doesn't shut down. They're not done for the day. They're not like, all right, that was a good few hours. Pat and Greg, great work. Let's take a long lunch. No, there's still amazing programming after us as well. So after we're done, we'll take a short news break. When we come back, it's going to be the Tom Hartman Show from 11 to 2. And then from 2 to 4 is Todd Alba. He's going to be joined by Danielle Williams, who's the Department of Workforce Development's Assistant Administrator of the Division of Employment and Training. That's a long title. They're going to be talking about September being Workforce Development Month in the state and what departments are doing, what the department is doing to promote and foster the state's workforce. And then he will have Sean Hanisch and Kelly Call, who are they're producers of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 82 Brewers. They're going to be talking about the movie and releasing across the state. So that's going to be great on Tom Alba's show. Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. She'll be joined at 4 o'clock with Jim Santel. I just love Jim. You know me. I love Jim. He's great. And they'll be discussing, they'll be talking to Stacey Abrams to talk about the 10 steps of autocracy and authoritarian framework and talk about what she's done to defend DEI against ongoing attacks. And then Pete Schwabe with Nightlight at from 6 to 8. He's talking to Frank Hermans. It's just a lot going on here. There's a lot happening at Civic Media, and you want to stick close. You want to stay listening, and you can do that by getting the Civic Media app on your device. You can simply go to your app store of choice, download the Civic Media app, install it right now. You can listen to us all day, every day, anywhere in the world, from any station, honestly, too. You love WAUK? Listen from WAUK. You love WRJN? Listen to WRJN. You can't listen to the sports, unfortunately, but you can listen to our shows anywhere in the world, including places like Europe, Australia, lower Southern America, anywhere you want. Get that Civic Media app in your life. It's that absolutely simple. So, Calvin, last month we had an edition of This Shouldn't Be a Thing. And if I'm not mistaken, that one was called, what did we name this one? Glow Up Edition. It was the Glow Up Edition because we found out in a story that Walmart was recalling Great Value shrimp after FDA warns of risk of radioactive contamination. You remember that one, Cal?
I do.
And I will say that most of the time, I mean, we've been doing This Shouldn't Be a Thing for a while. And most of the time, I mean, the stories are always fun. They're funny. And this one is serious, of course, but it's not like, you know, it's not a detrimental health hazard of epic proportions. It's not a pandemic of glowing shrimp throughout the Walmarts of our great nation. So they usually just kind of go away. People will mention them. I'll see them on the news every once in a while. I'll be like, we talked about it first. But this one is, pardon the term, growing legs from the radioactivity. Because not only have I seen it on other news outlets, Cal, Senator John Kennedy, not John F. Kennedy, and no relation to RFK, He is a Louisiana senator, stood next to, and I'm not making this up because I saw the video, and I'm going to put this in the show notes. There's video and there is a pictorial element to it. He stood next to a picture of a xenomorph. And if you don't know what a xenomorph is, just type that into the internet and you'll know exactly what that is, because it is one of the aliens from Alien, saying that, quote, this is what you could end up looking like if you eat some of the raw frozen shrimp being sent to the United States by other countries. I want to reiterate that point. This isn't The Onion. I didn't write this. Calvin didn't write this. This is for real. This is a story from the Shreveport Times. Presley Bo Tyler has the byline. This came out 3 days ago. Louisiana Senator, U.S. Louisiana Senator John Kennedy stood next to an image of an alien and warned that eating radioactive shrimp could result in consumers looking like an alien. Calvin, I know he's not our state senator, but we also pay his salary, right?
Yeah, I would assume so. I don't think the salary varies by state. So, yeah, I think it comes out of a general pool.
Yeah, we send all our money in via taxes, and then they get the money, and they get a paycheck. They get great health care. And the other thing, too, is this is not how I wanted one of our Tisbeth to become famous, because I had friends texting me the story saying, is this for real? And I say, yeah, it's John Kennedy. Of course it's real. He says stuff like this. He doesn't have anything else to do. He can't, you know, he's too busy. He's too busy taking away health care from people and voting for money for billionaires. So, of course, he's going to stand next to a picture of a fictional alien. They're all fictional. Sorry to say that, folks, but that's how I feel. A fictional alien from a movie, and say that if you consume shrimp imported by other countries, which, by the way, has been recalled, you may look like a xenomorph from the movie Alien. Side note, the picture they made, you and I also paid for. This is what's being taken up in Congress right now. I kind of have no words. I couldn't make it an audio survey. I couldn't even make it an audio gripe. Maybe it's an audio incredulous. I cannot believe that this man, who is a, you know, he's a U.S. senator, that's not for nothing here, said, yes, this is what I want to talk about right now. Nothing else. There's nothing in Louisiana that's pressing else. There's nothing else. You know, the fallout of the big bill for billionaires. This is top priority, Calvin. I watched the video and he has a straight face too.
Yeah, you know, Senator John Kennedy strikes me as someone who thinks all movies happened in real life.
He thinks Alien is an ongoing documentary.
Yeah, it's just up. He thinks like Terminator happened and like Godzilla just wrecked Japan multiple times. He thinks all that stuff happened for real. He just missed the actual origin of the xenomorph and he just mixed up. He thought it came from radioactive shrimp instead of outer space, you know.
He goes on to say this. This is a quote, folks. I'm not making it up. I didn't write this. I guarantee you I'm not funny enough. Quote, even if it doesn't turn you into an alien if you eat this stuff, I guarantee you'll grow another ear. I mean, that just sounds like good living. I mean, it's like, where do you grow it? That's where I would ask the question. Do you grow it on the back of your head, the top of your head, next to an existing ear? I mean, is it a functioning ear? Does it give you special telepathy powers? Tell me more about this extra ear that you would grow if you ate shrimp from Walmart.
He apparently doesn't consume a lot of comic book media because he should know that you would become Shrimp Man if you ate it.
Shrimp Man fights a lot. Now, if this, and I'm assuming that because this is your idea, this is going to be a DC character, so he can't fight alongside Ant-Man. That would be cross. I mean, you could do that in a crossover comic book. That would be actually Shrimp Man and Ant-Man. That would be amazing.
See, I don't know why, but he, even though I'm more of a DC fan, Shrimp Man strikes me as a Spider-Man villain. Shrimp man, shrimp guy. I don't know.
Shrimp guy. Nope. Shrimp guy is what it is. Shrimp now. Okay. It's not. He doesn't want to be shrimp man. He's like, that sounds fancy. I'm shrimp guy. We got Gene from Eau Claire. Gene, please tell me. Please tell me that you haven't eaten this radioactive shrimp. We don't want you growing another ear, dear.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for watching on my behalf. I appreciate it. You know, this is so great you're bringing this up because people won't believe it. But when you watch live, this is what you're seeing.
Yeah.
It's like I've watched for years live the Senate and the House and what went on. I have never seen the people. These people shouldn't even be allowed to walk dogs down the street for a living because they are way out of it. Mm-hmm. I've never seen this before. And you're giving a specific example. You should see them on other things.
Oh, yeah.
People, if you don't believe us, watch them live. You won't believe it. Have a good day. Thanks, you guys. Have a great day and good show. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gene. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it. And just to, let's give you context because just in case you're sitting there going, well, maybe John Kennedy has a point there. No, he doesn't. The FDA determined that products from, it says products from PT. I think it's the company that does that supplies them. I see here. Bahari Makhmur-Sajati violate the Food and Drug Administration and Cosmetic Act by appearing to have been prepared, packed, or held under in sanitary conditions wherein CS-137 contamination may have occurred and may pose a safety concern. Now, I know, Calvin, you're thinking about it. What happens if the next shrimp cocktail I eat is just loaded with radioactive activity and I become shrimp guy?
Yeah, unfortunately, let's not joke around too much here. Radiation poisoning is bad and makes you sick and you can die from it. But you don't get superpowers or extra limbs or creatures from outer space growing out of you.
Which is, just sounds like a bummer to me because I could make $1 billion on that movie deal. But and it's not going to happen to you via this either because the FDA did detect CS-137 in a single with a one. That's one shipment of imported frozen ship that did not enter U.S. commerce as well. The level of CS-137 detected in the detained shipment was below the FDA's derived intervention level for CS-137, which actually sounds like if it's below, it sounds like we can actually take in CS-137, but they're saying, hey, just don't take too much. PJ on the live stream says glowing in the dark would be cool. It would be cool, but I don't want to get through radioactive shrimp. I just wanted to bring this up because, one, we discussed this on what is supposed to be a joke segment of the show, and this paid U.S. senator got pictures, went on camera, and literally said some of the dumbest things that make you go, we need to put grandpa away. He can't drive anymore, but that's a U.S. Senator, John Kennedy, Louisiana. Good job, buddy. Watch out for that shrimp. Don't grow in here. And don't go anywhere, because when we return, we have This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Casper's Dream Car Edition, on Matt and Air on Air. We're still here until 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned, stay close, and stay amazing.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And welcome back to our True Crime Podcast. Our guest today is Sean Cleary.
Wait, what? We are supposed to be doing a commercial about Cleary's storage, egg, and sports facilities.
Great point, Sean. It was a warm summer evening in 1978 when a young man with a hammer...
Whoa, again, not a true crime podcast. I want to talk about Cleary designing the building of your dreams.
In a world where things aren't what they seem.
Okay, give me that. Good grief. Visit ClaryBuilding.com today and experience the Cleary difference.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Utah voters are back on a path to fair maps as a state circuit court judge ruled congressional districts must be redrawn by September 25th. The state Supreme Court ruled last summer that the legislature's attempt at circumventing a citizen-led independent redistricting commission by passing contrary state statutes was unconstitutional. In 2018, Utah voters approved Better Boundaries Proposition 4, establishing a commission independent from the legislature charged with creating fair, communities of interest-driven maps for Congress, state legislature, and school districts. Ignoring the voters, the GOP-dominated legislature passed laws to make the commission advisory instead of independent, and gerrymandered the maps anyway. When the state Supreme Court ruled the legislature couldn't overrule voters, lawmakers proposed Amendment D to give it that authority. Its language was later ruled deceptive. August 25th, 3rd District Court Judge Diana Gibson ordered the legislature to create congressional districts by September 25th, using the Fair Maps criteria as approved by the voters to be reviewed by the court November 10th. The Utah News-Dispatch reports that Utah's GOP leadership will begrudgingly comply with the court's order. The maps will be in place for the 2026 midterms. We have the judge's order and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. We're on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local civic media radio station.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matinair, who is vacating and will be back before you know it. You can always get in touch with us. Give us a call or a text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Lots and lots and lots of programming ahead of us, including Tom Hartman from 11 to 2, Todd Alba from 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6, and Pete Schwabe from 6 to 8. And then after that, we have the Rick Smith Show. We have Native Roots that we mentioned earlier before. And tomorrow's show is going to be absolutely amazing because Andrew Watkins is back. She's here every month. She is a New York Times bestselling author and a person who does commentary on white Christian nationalist community. She was raised in a Christian nationalist community, and she talks about the dangers, the fact that they've made their way into our public spaces, into our elected offices. And she will be here at 9:35 to talk about a group from a church that has some interesting opinions on the roles of women in the church and in the country and what they should and shouldn't be able to do. Guess what you think that is. I'm sure you'll be right, but Andrew Watkins at 9:35. Then Rick Reed is a professor of economics at Fox Valley Technical College. He will be here to talk about the pressure coming from the Trump administration on to lower interest rates, basically, for the Fed chair to lower interest rates. He'll be here to talk about that, as well as other things having to do with the economy, because that's a big nuanced discussion, and I am not talented enough to talk about it. So we have Rick Redon to break it down more. Early, not Thursday, but tomorrow, we're going to have Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot. She's taking a little bit of a break, so we're going to have her on tomorrow to talk about the weekend weather coming up. From what I understand, it's going to get cooler, maybe some 70s, but I think fall is here. So that's going to be at 10:33 with us tomorrow on the show. Brittany Merlot, Civic Media's multi-award-winning meteorologist, talking about the weather, talking about the stuff on Weather and Wine. It's going to be a great show. We want you to stay around. We want you to have some fun. And it's 10:55, which means it is time for
This shouldn't be a thing.
And if you ever have a thing that should not be, send it to Jane, Calvin, and me. And that is going to come way of email by janesays@civicmedia.us. JANESAYS at civicmedia.us. Send us a suggestion for This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Send us a guest suggestion, story suggestion. Just say hi. You could even tell us you don't like us. It's happened before. It's going to happen again. But we love to hear from you regardless because we love the fact that you're taking time out of your day to share with us. So Jane says at civicmedia.us. Today's Tisback comes way of the CBC. British Columbia. Andrew Kerjaka has got the byline. The headline reads, man arrested after driving child-sized pink Barbie Jeep through Prince George, British Columbia. This might be one of the greatest stories ever because it's got a wonderful, wonderful photo element to it. But a Prince George man was pulled over by police after driving a child-sized pink toy Barbie Jeep along one of the main roads in north central BC on September the 5th. I guess in a day that involved a hit and run accident, a fire that destroyed a business, the photos and videos of this Barbie Jeep are quickly spreading online with a mixture of humor and disbelief. If you go to the website civicmedia.us/shows, you can find our show. You can find this episode of Tisbat. You can look at all the pictures. The man's name is Lincoln Casper, and the picture of him you will see looks exactly like a guy in his dress, specifically of what would be a guy driving a toy pink Barbie truck down the road. Quote, I never drove it before, he said while laughing. He was getting a Slurpee for a friend who got lazy and decided to borrow his roommate's child's tiny car to get around. Calvin, is that what we're calling alcohol nowadays, a Slurpee? Because you can't tell me this was just, I'm going to go to the store and get you a Slurpee. This was not, I grew up on George Jones. He used to drive the lawnmower to the liquor store because they'd take his keys away. This was not a Slurpee.
Greg.
Yeah?
Slurpees are really good. And it was just a short walk and he decided he would take the Jeep.
It was a short walk, but it was a shorter drive because he was driving 3 miles an hour. Prompting one person who was filming it to say, you're really going to arrest him for driving a kid's Jeep? I mean, that's fair. I feel like the thing that shouldn't be here is the arrest. He's driving close to the road, and it's a pretty aggressive arrest, too. They got him in handcuffs face down on the truck. And really, when it comes down to it, it says, Casper says he was cuffed after he took a hit of his vape. Are we sure this isn't from America? This has just smacks of America branding for me. It just feels like this is out of like, this feels Florida. This feels like Canada's Florida right now.
Yeah, some of the memes are really good. I was just scrolling down the article. They have a parody game cover of Grand Theft Auto with Grand Theft Auto Prince George. And it features the Barbie police chief.
I just like the idea that a kid, I mean, I know he borrowed it, but I just like the idea of a kid on a toy phone going, I'd like to report a stolen vehicle, please. It's pink and tiny and has a large man in it, and he's driving slowly. He'll probably be at the 7-Eleven in about an hour. If you want to read more about that, you can go to civicmedia.us/shows and find the section about This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Download it. Look at the pictures. Enjoy it. Have a laugh because we all need that from time to time. And that has been another edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
I want to thank Calvin. I want to thank traffic. I want to thank engineering for doing all the things you do. Without you, this does not go on the air. We do not get heard. And the people who are listening, the people who are watching, commenting on the live stream, sending us text messages, calling in, we appreciate you. Without you, there is no us. Don't go anywhere. We got a lot of great programming ahead of us. After the news break, we're going to have Tom Hartman from 11 to 2. And then more shows. Todd Alba, Maggie Dawn, Peace Schwabba. Don't go anywhere. Stick around. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great, great Tuesday. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Take care. Stay close. Stay tuned. You're awesome. Bye-bye.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says today's targeted strikes against Hamas leadership in Doha, Qatar, were completely justified. Secretary General of the UN Antonio Guterres was about to give a report on the global costs of war when the attack happened.
Today's breaking news underscores the importance of the report that we launched today. It lays bare a stark reality. The world is spending far more on waging war than on building peace.
He says the UN condemns the strike. The U.S. job market was a lot weaker in 2024 and for the first 3 months of this year than originally reported. Revised numbers show U.S. employers added 911,000 fewer jobs than originally reported in the year that ended in March of 2025. A judge in Michigan has dismissed criminal charges against a group of fake electors who were accused of trying to falsify the results of the 2020 election in that state. The 15 Republicans accused will now not face a trial. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
We bring